Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest who's been leading us in worship all weekend here at our Extraordinary Women event in South Haven, Mississippi, Miss Meredith Andrews. Meredith is a Dove Award-winning worship leader and songwriter known for powerful songs like Not for a Moment and Spirit of the Living God. She leads worship at the Belonging Company in Nashville, Tennessee. Through her music, Meredith calls us to surrender and draw closer to God's heart, sharing the foundational truths that have shaped her own walk with the Lord as well. Today, she's here to share how the Lord helps her remain authentic on stage and to talk about her passion for leading others into His presence. Meredith, my friend, welcome.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Let me say this. We love having you at all of our events. Every time we get the opportunity of giving you the microphone to lead us in worship, to lead us to the feet of Jesus, we are going to say yes 100 times over. So we're grateful for you. We're going to dive into your story, though, today. Some of the backwater, some of just who you've really developed into and what makes you you. But before we go there, I want to say this up front. Lander Center, South Haven, Mississippi, you've been leading worship the past couple of days for a couple thousand women. You do this regularly. You're no stranger to the stage. Sure. You get the opportunity of watching countless people and just leading them in worship. You've seen it. I think we've all seen it. Just like the hunger for holiness, the stirring that's going around the country and the globe right now. Yeah. Meredith, up front, what encourages you during the season of life?
Well, I mean, exactly, you just said it. I think even just everywhere I get to go, I do see a hunger for the presence of God, for the truth of God's word, to really know God, not just fall under some kind of religious system, but to walk with the Lord. And I'm seeing it everywhere. And it's like, it's contagious, it's electrifying, it's beautiful, and I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of what God is doing. We all do. You know, He's invited us into this partnership with Him, and we each have an assignment on our lives where we get to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And I get a little bit maybe more of a front row seat than some people do because I can see it on people's faces. I can sense it in the room, what God is doing, how He's stirring the hearts of people everywhere, you know, specifically this weekend, women. And I told them, you know, this morning, I was like, y'all sound amazing. And I was listening to him sing because Chris Tomlin was here last night, and I was listening to them sing even side stage then. I was like, that's what heaven's going to sound like. Well, if heaven is just women and Chris Tomlin. They got to get out of that. But no, it's really such an honor to get to, like, just partner with the Lord and what he's doing in the earth, what he's doing in our nation, what he's doing in his church. And I'm just so honored. And I feel like I, you know, I am along for the ride and just wanting to be obedient and say yes wherever he invites me into.
You know, Meredith, we're going to dive into just the authenticity with which you lead here in a few moments. Mm-hmm. But before we go there, I want to click the rewind button, because leading worship, singing, music has been something that God called you into from a very young age. Correct me if I'm wrong, six years old is when you started singing in the church. Is that right?
Yes, but it wasn't like a very well thought out situation.
Right.
I think it was more like they were running out of options for special music. And so, you know.
Bring up the 6 year old.
Yeah, bring up the 6 year old. You know, my mom was on the praise team, so she was leading worship on a regular basis. And I would always run. Whenever she would practice with her little karaoke machine, I would just take off running. And then I would just sit there and listen and sing along. And so, I don't know, somehow it ended up with me singing I Love You, Lord, for Offering Special one day. And my mom and I sang together as I was growing up, off and on. And then I was on the worship team for our youth band. You know, started out singing harmonies and playing tambourine. And then that kind of morphed into playing keys and leading when I was around 14 or 15. But, you know, it was far beyond music for me. It was... It was way more about having these encounters with God, because I remember, I mean, music was definitely the way that God spoke to me.
Yeah.
And it was the way that I would then, it was kind of the language of my heart, even in expressing myself to him, because I started writing songs around that time as well. But I remember even being in my room and just like geeking out over all these CDs, all like Christian music CDs, but also worship specifically. So like early Delirious and Vineyard and Darlene Check. And I mean, I would spend hours in my room singing and just taking it all in. And also just like, this was how I communicate with God. And he met me there in such a real way. And so then that kind of translated into these services or these meetings that I was getting to be a part of, and you know, just on my keyboard, like it was real basic, Zach. There was nothing excellent about that. But I was in piano lessons, and my youth pastor said to me one day, he's like, "I want you to play keys for our youth band." And I was like, "Bro, I don't know how to do that. Like, I'm trying to read music over here." And he's like, "Well, here's a guitar chart. Just put octaves in your left hand and 1-3-5 in your right hand." And I mean, it was very clunky and basic, but that's where it started. And I think there's a purity and a beauty in that. You know, I wasn't trying to necessarily, there was no American Idol back then. That wasn't the thing. It was like, I just want to express myself to the Lord, and I want to be a worshiper before I'm a worship leader. Like, it was really just like, I want to be a worshiper, and I want to bring my offering to the Lord. So that's where it started.
I love what you're talking about, the foundation, right, of your faith. That's where this idea of becoming a worshiper really began. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about this for a second, because I was raised in a God-fearing home by two parents that fiercely loved the Lord, loved each other, and loved my sister and I. Yeah. And that set the foundation for the man that I would become, right? Just standing on their shoulders, in a sense.
Totally.
I want to talk to you about just the significance of being raised in a home like that. You were raised in a home like that, too. You saw just faith put on display, whether it was watching your parents continue to love on kids in the foster care system, bring them in, and just being able to help people that are going through less than ideal and difficult situations.
Yes.
What did your parents teach you, and how significant is it to be raised, and a privilege to be raised in a home such as that?
Yes, massively important, massively significant, and I'm so grateful. You know, my parents weren't perfect, and they would be the first people to tell you that.
Yeah.
But the way that they love the Lord, the way that my mom even modeled things like prayer, I would hear her. Some of my earliest memories of my mom was hearing her literally in her closet praying. And it wasn't like a now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. Yeah. It was she was going to war. She was going, she knew the battle that she was in, that she was fighting. And that's how she fought, is on her knees and through worship. And, that stayed with me my entire life. Like, I attribute who I am largely to my mom, because of the way that she has interceded for me and prayed for me my entire life. My dad is one of the most generous people that I know, and he's a businessman, but he is kind and he is wise. And he's, you know, I have so many memories of just having conversations with him when I felt like I was in crisis moments. It was really, you know, me trying to figure out who I was and what did God have for me. And he had these like one-liners, you know, like, and just would just drop these little nuggets in my, ear in my life. And again, it just stayed with me for so long. And I remember him saying to me one of the things that comes to mind, he would say, the people that deserve love the least are the ones that need it the most, you know? And so it's like, oh, if people are treating me poorly or they, you know, maybe they're just having a bad day or they're really walking through something really difficult and they don't know how to carry it. They don't know how to handle it. And they just need to be loved, you know? And it's love that covers a multitude of sins. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. But my parents, you mentioned this briefly, but my parents became foster parents when I was around 8 years old. Mm. I was an only child until then. I begged for a sibling, and I remember the day they came home and told me that they were going to foster. And so we had probably 20 children live with us in about a 5-year time span.
Wow.
And three of them became my brothers. Aww. And so I had three adopted brothers. But that really did teach me how to give, how to love, how to meet people right where they are. And I loved it because I kind of felt like I was their second mom to these kids.
Yeah.
And so many of them had trauma and just stories that I couldn't even fully comprehend. I barely can to this day, but especially not as an 8-year-old. But I just knew that when I saw my parents love these children just exactly where they were, regardless of their background or what they were coming in from, it was like I saw these kids come alive.
Wow.
I saw them begin to, you know, feel like they could be safe, that they could be themselves, that they could thrive, that they could laugh. And I'm just so grateful that I had a front row seat to that. And like I said, my mom was part of the praise team growing up, so she loved to worship. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just something that happened on a platform. Like, I saw it lived out. She was also really amazing at asking forgiveness, and she modeled that for us. Anytime she, you know, lost her temper or felt like she had kind of stepped over a boundary, she would come to us so quickly and ask forgiveness, normally with tears in her eyes. And just that humility, it was because she walked so closely with the Lord, and she knew how to restore and repair relationship, and she didn't want that breach to be something that would carry on. And so, you know, I've tried to implement that in my own family and with my own children as well. Just like, hey, I'm human too. Yes. And God is teaching me and he's instructing me, and I messed up. My therapist always says that the repair is greater than the rip. I saw that, kind of modeled as a kid, and now I'm like seeing it in my own family. And even how quick children are to forgive. They're just like, oh, because they want that restoration. They want that reconnection. I'm just really thankful for my parents, the way that they have walked with the Lord all of these years, and just been such an example to me in that.
You know, Meredith, I even just hear the emotion about just what God is continuing to reveal to you as he's continuing to stretch you and mold you and develop you into the woman and the leader that he has called you to be. And let me tell you something, you have been a blessing to countless individuals, especially my life, my family, all of us at eWomen. And I know I got to get you out of here because I got to get you lunch and you got to get back on stage. I don't even know when we start back up, but I want to ask the question of, you know, as you even think about worship and what God has taught you, I heard it said recently that I think we have a greater understanding of servanthood through parenthood.
Yes.
And you're up there this morning sharing about just being able to see Maverick, yes, your firstborn, and just hold him mm-hmm. for the first time mm-hmm. and really getting a greater understanding of the Father's love for you through that very special moment. Share with us what this journey of motherhood has taught you about, again, God's love for you as you look at your kids now, but also in terms of, like you mentioned, the prioritization of family and your Jerusalem, because it's really easy to go and to reach the Judeas and the Samarias and the uttermost parts of the earth. But if we're neglecting the main thing, then we might be missing the mark. Speak to that if
exactly. you would. Becoming a mom, I mean, I've been a mom for 14 years now, which is wild. that changed everything. It shifted everything for me. It opened my eyes to see God in a way that I never had before. It's one thing to have like an intellectual or informational knowledge or view of God. It's a whole nother thing to have an experiential one. And so it's the same thing with parenthood. Like, they can tell you when you're newly married and you're about to have a kid, they can tell you all the things like the days are long, but the years are short, or you're going to blink and it's going to go, you know, all these things they'll tell you, but you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And it's not a this knowing, it's a like experience. Oh, I've known this. I've felt this. I've lived this. It's trial and error with, especially my oldest, bless him. But I remember even when he was 4, and I was like, God, how do I parent him? Because he's strong. He's very strong. He's like me with more testosterone. He's like, looks like me, a verbal processor like me, you know, justice, high justice. And the Lord is like, how do I parent you? I'm like, is that a trick question? I don't know. What do you mean? Like, okay. And God's like, am I ever harsh with you? I'm like, no. I mean, you're firm, but you're never harsh. And you never accuse, and you never put me in the corner to sit by myself and think about what I did. Because God doesn't isolate us. He always moves towards us. And so I felt like that was something that the Lord showed me early on with my kids. Always move towards them, and always protect their hearts. It's not about their behavior. If their behavior is coming out in a certain way, it's because something's going on internal, and they need your help to discover what that is and to figure out what's the wrestle, what's the tantrum about, what's the big emotions about, you know. So I mean, parenting is such this crazy picture of even like my own life, and I just see the way that the Lord parents me and loves me and disciplines me and instructs me even as I'm like with my own kids. And now they're 14, 12, and 10. So we're in teen and preteen world in this crazy culture that we're living in. It's like dictated by screens and TikTok. And I'm like, can we move to a like off-grid farm? And yeah, I don't know. That's not realistic necessarily, but it's like even more so now, just going, God, how do I parent my children? How do I point them to you? How do I love them in a way where they know that they are safe to talk about anything and everything that they need to talk about? And bring in, like, this is the gospel. This is why we need Jesus. And, salvation is the beginning of that. This just side note, little story. I just have to tell this really quick. My middle son, Remy, this was probably 6 or 7 years ago, he gave his heart to the Lord. And it was just one night in his bedroom with my husband right before bed. And so Jacob came down and told me, he's like, Remy just gave his heart to the Lord. And he's like, got tears in his eyes. I'm like, that's amazing. So I was about to run up there just to like hug him and be like, celebrate that moment with him. And Jacob's like, but hang on, I got to tell you the funniest thing he said. I was like, what did he say? He goes, after like we had gotten done praying and I'm like crying, it's this whole moment, Remy goes, Dad, how many hearts does an octopus have? And Jacob was like, he's just stalling. He doesn't want to go to bed. I'm like, that's not what he was thinking. He wanted to know that because an octopus has multiple hearts. He wanted to know how many times an octopus has to ask Jesus into his hearts. You know, I just thought that was like so funny because an octopus has 3 hearts, by the way. We looked it up.
Okay, come
so
on.
He didn't have to ask Jesus 3 times, I guess. Anyway, I don't know. But I just thought that was so precious. But it's just like this childlike faith too. Yes. Like my kids say the most profound things. If you just pay attention, like to what kids will say about God, or you ask them questions, it's so, I mean, it's just like what revelation that comes through this, like, just it's the childlike faith. It's the simplistic yet profound view of God because it hasn't been tainted. It hasn't been messed with yet. And so I learned so much from my kids, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has allowed me to be mom and entrusted my kids to me, to Maverick and Remy and Frankie. And, you know, even in like ministry world, there have been so many seasons where I've had to learn to ebb and flow. And God told me several years ago, he's like, you have to pay attention to just where everybody's at. Like, be attuned to the hearts of your kids. If they're acting out more, there's something under the surface, yep, and you may just need to be home more. And so it's been this ebb and flow of learning how to go, okay, kids, March and April are going to be heavy travel months for mom, but then I'm home all of June and May, June and July. Yeah. Like I kind of block off summer months so that we have specific time together. I try to bring my kids out. Frankie, my daughter, loves coming to eWomen events. Like yes, they're her actual favorite. Oh, yeah. So she was bummed she couldn't come this weekend, but she had grandparents in town that wanted to be with her. Nice. So she'll be with me probably very soon. But I love to get to bring them out so that they get to see what God is doing. They do not think I'm cool. Their friends do, but they do not. Like, right. They've asked me many times. They're like, Mom, are you famous? I'm like, no, like, not like in the way that you think. And I'm like, I don't want to be famous. I want to point people to Jesus. And a lot of people, I think, have resonated with my music in their lives, you know, so we have conversations and about that. It's just really, really sweet. Just helping them understand, like, God has not given me this platform to build an empire, promote Meredith Andrews. Like, I really just always want to point people back to Jesus. And so when they get to see that in real time, when I get to bring my daughter up on stage to sing with me, then she gets a glimpse of that. Like, oh, look how these people are responding in worship, you know, and they're moved by what the words that we're singing. And so, yeah, it's a journey, and you can pray for me now, because, like, my oldest is about to go to high school. I'm like, what am I going to do?
14.
High school next year. I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel again.
the wheel. We'll definitely be praying for you. I was just thinking, you know, as we kind of near an end to our conversation, Meredith, what I'm thinking about is you keep bringing up this phrase of, you know, not being first, not being famous, but just simply being faithful.
Yeah.
And I so appreciate, out of all the roles, right, and hats that you wear, that you so appreciate and you value the role of wife to Jacob, but also mother to Maverick, to Remy, and to Frankie. And then just seeing the faithfulness that God is continuing to steward in and through your life. And I'm just reminded of this. There might be someone, an audience member out there listening today, that feels like they're in a season of discouragement or disappointment or despair. And times have gotten hard, and they're pretty difficult right now. But I remember coming across a quote in one of those moments in my life by Nancy Lee DeMoss, where she said, I've recognized that when I'm going through whatever circumstances might come my way, I can respond in one of two ways. She said, I can whine or I can worship. And then she said, but it's impossible to worship without giving thanks. To the person out there listening in one of those seasons, Meredith, what's the one final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would leave them with as it relates to just what gratitude can really bring and offer to their life in this season, as well as the practicing of remembrance and just thinking back and reflecting on who our God is?
Yes, absolutely. I think about the story in the Gospels of Mary who broke the alabaster box over Jesus' feet, and she, you know, it was a year's worth of wages, so many people viewed that as wasteful, but it cost her something. I would wager to say it cost her almost everything to anoint the feet of Jesus, to pour out her worship on him. Jesus is worthy of my costly worship. And so I don't want to miss a moment, because this is the only chance we get to worship through our pain. Once we're in heaven, he will wipe away every tear from every eye, and pain will be no more. This is the one chance. That's why angels long to look into these things, because this is the chance that I get to decide, to choose, to offer gratitude, thanksgiving, praise, worship to God in the midst of my suffering, knowing that he's worthy of it regardless of my circumstances.
I love that. He is worthy. Meredith Andrews, our friend, where can our audience go to find out more about you, maybe to listen to some of your incredible songs?
Sure. Well, I mean, you can listen to Meredith Andrews music anywhere you want. You listen to music. So Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, just look for Meredith Andrews. My website is meredithandrews.com. And then I'm on Instagram. It's Mare Music, M-E-R-E Music.
Meredith, my friend, thank you so much for giving us your time today. Yes, thanks for taking a few moments. Let's get you back there on stage.
Hey, that sounds good.
We love and appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks so much, Zach. Likewise.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops. So you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.